the new Competitive Runner's Handbook has transformed countless casual joggers into serious competitors since its publication. While many running books focus on beginners or elite athletes, this comprehensive guide bridges that gap, speaking directly to the ambitious recreational runner seeking to reach their full potential. Bob Glover, whose running classes at the New York Roadrunners Club have coached over 200,000 runners, brings decades of practical experience to this definitive text. The book has achieved cult status among serious runners, with many elite coaches recommending it as required reading for their athletes. Even Olympic medalist Meb Keflezighi cited it as foundational to his early development as a competitive runner. What makes this handbook particularly valuable is how it balances scientific training principles with the psychological aspects of racing, recognizing that competitive running is as much a mental challenge as a physical one. When Bob Glover began coaching in the 1970s, competitive running was a small, exclusive community. Today, it is transformed into a massive pyramid with elite athletes at the top and millions of recreational runners forming the broad base. This evolution reflects profound changes in how people approach the sport. The marathon craze that once drove runners to tackle multiple 26.2-mile races per year has matured into a more thoughtful approach. Most runners now race marathons just once or twice annually, recognizing the toll these events take on the body. Meanwhile, shorter races have exploded in popularity. 5K and 10K events now dominate race calendars, offering the competitive thrill without the grueling recovery. Training philosophies have similarly evolved. The mega mileage approach, championed by runners in the 1970s who routinely logged 100 plus miles weekly, has given way to smarter, more balanced training. Today's serious runners typically maintain 70-80 weekly miles, supplementing with cross-training activities like swimming and cycling. The average recreational competitor now runs a more modest 20-25 miles weekly at a 7-9 minute pace. Perhaps most dramatically, women's participation has surged from just 1% of runners in the early 70s to near parity today. Some events already show female majorities, completely transforming the demographic landscape of the sport. The running population is also aging, with masters 40-plus competition growing exponentially and age group breakdowns extending well into the 70s and 80s. Modern runners increasingly embrace a wellness philosophy that recognizes running as just one component of overall health. Today's competitor understands that running alone isn't enough. It must be complemented by flexibility work, strength training, proper nutrition, and stress management to create truly balanced fitness and prevent injuries. This evolution reflects a sport that has matured from a fringe activity into a mainstream pursuit that accommodates diverse goals, from Olympic dreams to personal health milestones. The competitive runner of today benefits from this broader perspective, able to draw on accumulated wisdom while tailoring approaches to individual needs. Success in competitive running isn't about finding shortcuts. It's about methodically building a foundation that supports your racing goals. 10 fundamental principles guide this process, creating a framework that applies whether you're targeting a 5K or marathon. First, establish a solid aerobic foundation before attempting to sharpen with speed work. Like constructing a house, you must build endurance before adding the finishing touches of speed. Beginners should develop the ability to run comfortably for 30 minutes 5 times weekly before racing, while novice marathoners need a 30-40 mile weekly base. After reaching race goals, cut back, recover, then rebuild at higher levels. Consistency forms the second pillar of training success. Running year-round, regardless of weather or motivation, builds the habit necessary for improvement. Schedule runs at the same time daily and maintain a base mileage even during off-seasons. While Bob Glover's extreme consistency, like his streak of 12 consecutive 100-mile weeks, produced remarkable results, practical consistency means listening to your body when it truly needs rest. The principle of adaptation to progressive stress explains how improvement occurs. Your body responds to training stress by becoming stronger, but only when the stress is appropriate, not too little, not too much. As fitness improves, you can handle greater loads with similar effort. Progress comes rapidly for beginners, but slows as you approach your potential, with natural plateaus between improvements. The 10% rule helps prevent overload. Never increase mileage or speed by more than 10% week to week. Recovery, often overlooked, is equally crucial. The hard, easy method alternates stress with recovery, allowing adaptations to occur. This principle must be personalized, as recovery needs vary between runners and circumstances. Many runners struggle to accept this principle. They want to run hard daily, but must learn to take easy days seriously. The formula is simple: hard work plus rest equals faster times. Training must be specific to your racing goals. After building your endurance foundation, tailor your sharpening phase to your target race conditions in 5 key areas: distance, speed, racing form, terrain, and heat acclimatization. A 10K specialist needs different preparation than a marathoner. Individuality and flexibility acknowledge that training must adapt to your unique needs and circumstances. Create your own program based on what works for your body. Some thrive on high mileage while others break down. Some benefit from mile repeats while others respond better to shorter intervals. Find the right balance of routine and variety to maintain both discipline and enjoyment. Confidence building occurs through progressive training successes and improved race performances. Key workouts and smaller races build mental toughness before major competitions. Experienced runners sometimes use max workouts or callusing, exceptionally challenging sessions 2 to 3 weeks before important races to push psychological barriers. Patience and experience remind us that competitive success develops over years, not weeks. Each training day builds your foundation as you gain racing wisdom through direct experience. Every race teaches valuable lessons about pacing, hydration, and race day preparations. Extended goals provide motivation through a never-ending finish line of challenges, conquering new distances, improving times, or excelling in new age classifications. After mastering distance goals, runners establish progressive time goals, setting reasonable targets a full year ahead. Finally, moderation and balance prevent burnout and injury. Excess in any area, training miles, speed work, races, even non-running activities, is counterproductive. Take a moderate approach to life, balancing career, family, and running stresses just as you balance components within your training program. These principles form the foundation of successful competitive running. By understanding and applying them consistently, you transform random running into purposeful training that builds towards specific racing goals while minimizing injury risk. Many runners fear speed training, imagining brutal track workouts that leave them gasping and sore. Yet speed work doesn't require such suffering to be effective. It simply means running slightly faster than your comfortable training pace while handling modest discomfort. This controlled intensity transforms your running economy and racing ability. Speed training serves multiple purposes. It improves running form, builds leg strength, increases oxygen debt tolerance, develops pacing ability, and enhances psychological toughness. The key is balance. 80-90% of your training should remain aerobic endurance work, with just 10-20% devoted to speed. Shorter races require more speed training, while marathoners need less. Before beginning speed work, establish proper foundations. Run consistently for at least a year, complete 2 races, build to 20-plus weekly miles, and demonstrate appropriate pace differentials between training and racing. This preparation prevents injuries and ensures you can handle the increased demands. Every speed workout follows a 3-step approach: warm-up, 15 minutes for endurance runs, 30 to 60 minutes for speed work, main workout, 30 to 90 minutes, and cool down, 15 to 30 plus minutes. The workout itself balances 3 variables: quantity, number of intervals, intensity, pace, and recovery, rest between intervals. Beginners might start with 4 to 6 intervals, while advanced runners might do 6 to 8. Recovery allows heart rate and body temperature to decrease between efforts. Walking or jogging is recommended, never sitting or lying down. Environmental factors significantly influence speed training. In hot weather, 45 to 70F is optimal. Shorten continuous runs, take longer recovery breaks, and schedule sessions for cooler times. In cold weather, below 32F, avoid fast intervals and opt for race pace or strength runs instead. Never run hard on slippery surfaces or during lightning storms. At higher altitudes, skip speed work unless staying a week or longer to acclimatize. To prevent boredom and staleness, vary your speed workouts by mixing different types of speed runs with 6 basic distances: 220, 440, 880, mile, short hill, long hill. Create variety through cutdowns, starting slower than race pace and increasing with each repetition, pyramid/ladders, progressing from shorter to longer distances and back down, combinations, alternating different distances, and out and back runs. As you transition into faster speed work, incorporate pickups, brief 100 to 220 yard bursts at race pace, followed by complete recovery jogs. These aren't full speed workouts, but help develop relaxed form at faster paces. They're also excellent 2 to 4 days before races to sharpen racing form and mental attitude. Remember these essential principles. Don't procrastinate about speed work. Just do it. Finish interval runs feeling tired but not exhausted. Listen to your body's warning signals. Train specifically for your target race. Don't increase mileage and speed simultaneously. Follow the hard, easy method. Allow recovery time after races before resuming speed work. Avoid sudden changes in surface, shoes, or workout intensity. Don't race during training sessions, and log all workouts in detail. Speed work builds your body, not breaks it down. When approached intelligently and progressively, it transforms endurance into racing power, allowing you to maintain faster paces with greater efficiency on race day. Strength, a critical but often overlooked factor in distance running success, allows you to perform with less effort while accomplishing the same work. As muscles used for distance running grow stronger, less energy is required to maintain pace, extending endurance and enabling faster speeds without additional oxygen demands. Strength training runs operate at the borderline between aerobic and anaerobic work, where breathing becomes labored. These runs, covering 4-13 miles at paces between 5K and marathon pace, combine the virtues of continuous endurance runs with intermittent speed work, improving the heart-lung system and muscular strength simultaneously. Benefits include running faster with less effort, maintaining pace longer, psychological fortitude during intense races, hill climbing ability, and resistance to form breakdown from fatigue. To improve racing strength, systematically overload muscles by increasing workout intensity, speed, resistance, and incorporating weight training. The progression begins with modified fartlek runs for novices, advances to hill fartlek runs that introduce resistance training, and culminates with advanced fartlek runs that combine both speed and hill challenges. The modified fartlek run serves as an introductory strength workout for beginners, performed on level or gently rolling terrain to manipulate only speed, not resistance. It consists of a continuous 4 to 8 mile run at normal base pace with 6 to 8 pickups of 50 to 440 yards at 5K/10K race pace, each followed by 2 to 3 minutes of recovery running. This playful workout gradually introduces speed training while allowing the body to adapt with minimal injury risk. The hill fartlek run introduces resistance work essential for developing racing strength. Covering 4 to 10 miles over 30 to 75 minutes, it incorporates hills ranging from 1/4 to 1/3 mile in length. Approach hills positively, challenging them at race pace to force muscles to overcome resistance while falling rather than resisting on downhills. This workout improves form, teaches the body to work under oxygen debt, and builds confidence for tackling hills in races. Fast, continuous runs stress speed over long distances, creating the sensation of pushing the pace throughout. The pace remains steady, half marathon pace for 4 to 8 miles, or marathon pace for 8 to 10 miles, with the entire workout completed at consistent speed after a warm-up mile. The key benefit comes from maintaining the fast, steady pace without slowing, which improves cardiorespiratory fitness and mental toughness. Anaerobic threshold runs target the fine line between aerobic and anaerobic running, approximately 85% of maximum heart rate, where breathing becomes difficult and lactic acid builds up. Runners with higher anaerobic thresholds can maintain faster paces for longer distances before succumbing to oxygen debt. The workout involves running at approximately 30 seconds slower than 10K pace for 3 to 4 miles after warming up. More structured than fast continuous runs, tempo runs are measured precisely for distance and time, performed at a slightly faster pace, 10-20 seconds per mile, slower than 10K race pace. Originally developed by Russian coaches to simulate race conditions without competitive pressure, these runs cover 4 to 5 miles on level terrain with good footing. Proper preparation with tapering is essential, as these stressful workouts can be discouraging if performed poorly. By incorporating these strength training runs into your program, you'll develop the muscular power and mental fortitude to maintain pace when fatigue sets in during races. This strength becomes particularly crucial in the later stages of longer races, when maintaining form and fighting through discomfort determines success. Interval workouts, speed runs with incomplete recovery breaks between them, form the backbone of competitive training. They fall into two categories. Pace intervals, primarily aerobic, run near the top of training heart rate range, and fast intervals, run anaerobically at higher speeds. Pace intervals help you develop rhythm, improve speed gradually, enhance racing form, build confidence, increase endurance, and sharpen performance for races. When combined with aerobic endurance runs and strength work, they enable you to maintain faster paces over longer distances. These workouts develop a sense of pace and rhythm through accurately timed repetitions, improving speed by training slightly faster than race pace. Fast intervals combine strength and speed to build stamina, helping you become comfortable with oxygen debt, what runners call the bear. They develop leg strength, especially quadriceps, upper body strength, and knee lift, resulting in increased speed, stride length, and ankle flexibility. The intensity closely simulates racing conditions, improving mental and physical toughness while pushing back the aerobic-anaerobic threshold. Creating an effective interval workout requires careful planning of three key variables: quantity, distance and repetitions, recovery time, and intensity, speed. Six standard interval distances serve different purposes. 220-yard runs improve speed, 440-yard quarters develop form and conditioning, 880-yard runs simulate racing conditions, 1-mile runs build pace judgment and aerobic conditioning, short hill runs, 100 to 220 yards, enhance form and strength, and long hill runs, 440 to 660 yards, provide psychological benefits. Recovery time should allow heart rate to return to about 120 beats per minute, enough to do the next interval at the same pace, with runners advised to keep moving between intervals rather than sitting or standing. Intensity is determined by 5 speed levels: 10K pace intervals, anaerobic threshold pace intervals, 30 seconds per mile slower than 10K pace, 5K pace intervals, 10 seconds per mile faster than 10K pace, fast intervals, 20 seconds faster per mile than 10K pace, and power intervals, 30 seconds faster per mile than 10K pace. To safely increase workout intensity, follow a two-step method. First, increase the number of repetitions until reaching the recommended maximum, then increase speed slightly, 1 to 2 seconds per 440 yards, while simultaneously decreasing the number of intervals. This gradual approach allows the body to adapt properly to increased workloads. Progress may be quick initially, 4 to 10 seconds per mile improvement in the first months, but advanced runners might need 4 to 6 months to gain just 2 to 4 seconds per mile. 9 essential guidelines ensure effective interval training. maintain controlled workouts without racing between partners, respect recovery periods, focus on steady pacing rather than speed, stop when pace drops sharply, finish with energy to spare, schedule the last hard session 10-12 days before a key race, ease into runs rather than starting at full effort, develop and maintain rhythm throughout, and keep moving during rest periods. Rather than guessing at workout variables, determine your fitness category based on experience level, select appropriate interval distance, choose pace type, determine quantity, and establish recovery method. For example, novice competitors might run 6 by 440 at 10K pace with 2-minute walks, while champion competitors might tackle 10 by 880 at 10K pace with 1-minute jogs, each tailored to specific race goals and fitness levels. When structured properly, interval training transforms your racing ability by developing the specific physiological and psychological qualities needed for competition. It bridges the gap between endurance and speed, creating the stamina necessary to maintain faster paces throughout your target race distance. Competitive running requires more than just daily workouts. It demands a structured approach that builds towards specific racing goals. This cyclical training process ensures you reach peak performance when it matters most while maintaining long-term development. Your training cycle represents your running season. While some runners focus on a single race or race year-round, most benefit from either short-term, 2 to 4 months, or long-term, 4 to 6 month cycles. Short-term cycles work well for races 10K or less, allowing you to race well several times yearly, but with shorter peak periods. Long-term cycles benefit those targeting a single fast race, facing a long racing season, or preparing for marathons. Both approaches include 5 progressive phases that blend together: endurance, building aerobic foundation; strengthening, preparing for speed work with hill training; sharpening, combining endurance, strength, and speed for faster race times; tapering, reducing mileage before key races; and rebuilding, regenerating after racing season. The endurance phase builds your cardiovascular foundation through long, medium, and short distance runs. You'll gradually increase mileage without racing or hard speed work. The short-term cycle requires 3 to 6 weeks here. Long-term needs 6 to 12 weeks. As you progress, blend in easy speed runs like 10K pace intervals and fartlek runs to maintain motivation. After building your endurance base, the strengthening phase maintains mileage while adding strength training, especially hill work. This phase lasts 2 to 4 weeks in short-term cycles and 4 to 6 weeks in long-term cycles. You'll do endurance runs plus 1 to 2 weekly strength runs, possibly including uphill pace intervals. Limited racing is permitted, but you'll train through rather than going all out. The sharpening phase combines everything: endurance, strength, and speed to produce stamina and faster race times. It lasts 1-3 weeks in short-term cycles and 3 to 4 weeks in long-term cycles. You'll reduce mileage by 10-15% while adding faster interval training and pace work specific to your target race distance. This phase includes preparatory races, where you should go hard with proper recovery between them. Tapering reduces mileage and speed work, so you're well rested for racing. The taper duration depends on race distance, fitness level, and personal preference. Longer races and less fit runners require more tapering. Get extra sleep, especially 2 to 3 nights before the race, stay off your feet, follow proper nutrition, and don't take too many days completely off to avoid feeling sluggish. The rebuilding phase consists of recovery after races and longer rebuilding periods after completing your racing cycle. Recovery varies from days to weeks depending on fitness level and race distance. After racing, keep moving, apply ice to sore areas, take hot baths, do gentle stretching, and gradually return to normal mileage. Recovery typically takes 3 to 5 days after a 5K, 3 to 7 days after a 10K half marathon, and 3 to 5 weeks after a marathon. For longer rebuilding, runners should take at least 2-month-long breaks from hard training each year to allow mind and body to recover from intense training seasons. During these periods, focus on short and medium endurance runs, building to about 50 to 75% of your peak mileage base with no long runs, speedworks, or races. By understanding and implementing this cyclical approach to training, you'll develop a sustainable pattern that allows for both peak performance and long-term development. The key is patience, recognizing that each phase serves a specific purpose in building toward your racing goals while preventing burnout and injury. The marathon represents the ultimate challenge for most runners, a distance that demands respect and preparation beyond any other race. While your first marathon tests survival, subsequent marathons become tests of endurance as you push your pace near the anaerobic threshold for hours. The long run is the single most important ingredient to marathon success. It provides critical benefits, improving your muscles' ability to utilize fat as fuel while sparing glycogen, enhancing your nervous system's recruitment of muscle fibers, strengthening your cardiovascular system, building leg strength, teaching efficient form despite fatigue, and allowing you to test race day equipment and nutrition. Perhaps most importantly, the long run builds mental toughness and patience. First-time marathoners can complete the distance with long runs in the 16 to 18-mile range, while more competitive runners benefit from runs up to 20, 23 miles. Long runs should be done at conversational pace, 1-2 minutes slower than 10K pace, to ensure recovery within 2 days. Most runners err by running their long runs too fast, risking injury and excessive fatigue. Veteran marathoners traditionally run long every weekend for toughening, but this can lead to chronic fatigue without proper recovery. Instead, plan strategically. Begin with monthly 10-12 milers several months before your marathon, then progress to weekly 10-12 milers. From there, increase long runs by no more than 2 miles per week. Alternate between medium-length runs, 10 to 15 miles, and gradually increasing long runs, 18 to 22 miles. Schedule your final long run 2 to 3 weeks before race day. The marathon countdown begins 2 weeks before race day, requiring careful tapering and mental preparation. Research shows runners who reduce training by two-thirds for 2 weeks prior to racing increase muscle power and perform better. Cut mileage by 25 to 50% 2 weeks out, then reduce further to 15 to 25 miles in the 6 days before the race. Take 1 to 2 days off during marathon week, including 2 days before the race, but run lightly the day before to reduce tension. Marathon strategy requires careful planning and execution. The marathon is unforgiving. Starting too fast, surging improperly, or neglecting fluids can destroy your race, causing both physical and mental suffering. Break the marathon into manageable segments and visualize conquering each piece individually rather than facing the entire distance at once. Begin hydrating 10 minutes before the race starts and keep your body wet throughout to prevent dehydration and heat exhaustion. Position yourself appropriately at the start based on your ability and start your watch at the gun, checking it at each mile marker to verify you're maintaining even pacing. Ease into the race both physically and emotionally. Starting more than 10 seconds per mile faster than your goal pace invites trouble later. Advanced runners might start 5-10 seconds per mile faster than goal pace to build a small cushion, while novices should start at exactly their goal pace for the first 3 to 6 miles before slightly increasing. Stay calm and treat the first 10 miles like your daily training runs in terms of effort. The true race begins in the second half, where fatigue battles you for 1 to 2 hours and 10 to 15 miles. Maintain concentration, relaxed form, confidence, and goal focus. During difficult patches, remember your training investment and push through self-doubt. Use other runners strategically, either catching them for psychological boosts or temporarily drafting off those passing at a reasonable pace. The 20-mile mark represents both the mythical wall and the start of a new race, a final 10K. Reframe this mentally. If aiming for a sub-3-hour marathon and reaching 20 miles in 2:15, you only need a sub-45-minute 10K to break 3 hours. Break down the final miles into smaller segments to make them less intimidating. Begin hydrating 10 minutes before the race starts and keep your body wet throughout to prevent dehydration and heat exhaustion. Position yourself appropriately at the start based on your ability and start your watch at the gun, checking it at each mile marker to verify you're maintaining even pacing. Ease into the race both physically and emotionally. Starting more than 10 seconds per mile faster than your goal pace invites trouble later. Advanced runners might start 5-10 seconds per mile faster than goal pace to build a small cushion, while novices should start at exactly their goal pace for the first 3 to 6 miles before slightly increasing. Stay calm and treat the first 10 miles like your daily training runs in terms of effort. The true race begins in the second half, where fatigue battles you for 1 to 2 hours and 10 to 15 miles. Maintain concentration, relaxed form, confidence, and goal focus. During difficult patches, remember your training investment and push through self-doubt. Use other runners strategically, either catching them for psychological boosts or temporarily drafting off those passing at a reasonable pace. The 20-mile mark represents both the mythical wall and the start of a new race, a final 10K. Reframe this mentally. If aiming for a sub-3-hour marathon and reaching 20 miles in 2:15, you only need a sub-45-minute 10K to break 3 hours. Break down the final miles into smaller segments to make them less intimidating. Recovery after the marathon is as important as the race itself. Keep moving after finishing, drink fluids, put on warm clothes, walk, and elevate your feet when resting. Treat blisters immediately, apply ice to painful areas, take anti-inflammatory medication, and do light stretching. Begin fluid replacement immediately and continue drinking until your urine is clear. Your first post-race meal should emphasize carbohydrates to replenish depleted glycogen stores. By mastering these marathon principles, from training through race day to recovery, you transform from a marathon survivor to a marathon competitor, capable of achieving your time goals while maintaining both physical and mental well-being throughout the process. Mental preparation may be racing's most neglected factor. Elite marathoners overwhelmingly cite positive mental attitude as the greatest contributor to success, even more than natural ability or training. With equal physical conditioning, the mentally stronger runner typically wins. Mental fitness begins with goal setting and commitment. Examine why you want certain goals and whether you're willing to invest the necessary time and effort. You don't need to be 100% committed to running. Most runners can find balance between running goals and other life priorities while still achieving significant improvement through proper scheduling, progressive training, and mental toughness. Recognize yourself as an athlete, regardless of pace, age, or occupation. Feel proud of your running accomplishments and compare yourself to your previous self rather than elite runners. Develop a winning attitude and positive self-image through consistent training, speed workouts, and build-up races. Accept compliments graciously and maintain quiet confidence. Sports psychologists recommend creating positive self-affirmations to enhance confidence. Write them down, review them regularly, and think about them while running. Even with strong commitment, you need consistent motivation. Having people cheer for you along the course inspires harder training and race day performance. Training partners provide accountability. Making dates for runs ensures you won't skip workouts or cut them short. Group long runs are especially valuable. Bob Glover once maintained 20 milers through a harsh winter thanks to dedicated veterans who motivated each other. Joining a running team creates belonging and mutual motivation. Relaxation is crucial yet often overlooked in running. While running itself relaxes many people, racing builds tension that impairs performance. Tense muscles are less flexible, more injury-prone, and inefficient. As Bud Winter notes in Relax and Win, the key is staying relaxed by working at 90% effort rather than 100%, letting muscles not directly involved in running, face, neck, shoulders, remain loose. Let the meat hang on the bones. Relaxation techniques include meditation, yoga, deep breathing, and progressive relaxation. Visualization is mental rehearsal for success used by athletes at all levels. You imagine achieving your goal so vividly that when it happens, you embrace it as familiar territory. The technique works because simulating an experience increases your chances of performing it successfully. The three-step process involves setting a goal with positive self-image, achieving deep relaxation, and imagining success using all senses. Visualize the entire race experience, warm-up area, starting line, conquering hills, running with good form, and finishing strong. Positive thinking is essential to success in running. When the amazing Mets won the World Series after being considered losers, their battle cry was, "You've gotta believe." Similarly, when medical experts claimed breaking the 4-minute mile was impossible, Roger Bannister didn't believe them and broke the barrier. Within 18 months, 50 others followed once the mental barrier was shattered. Set imposing ultimate goals to make intermediate goals less intimidating. Avoid negative self-talk before races, as this creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. Racing requires strategic adjustments for various challenges. When fatigue strikes, get angry at passing runners or comments to boost adrenaline. Preparation starts before the race. Ignore intimidation tactics, analyze the course and weather, and adjust strategy accordingly. Work with teammates when possible. Use surrounding runners strategically. Draft, share pace, or move to different groups as needed. Never panic when passed. Watch for signs of opponent fatigue. Pass decisively to project strength. By developing these mental skills alongside physical training, you gain a powerful edge in competition. The mind can drag the body to new heights when properly trained and focused. As Bob Glover recalls about his best race, maintaining 5:30 pace for 30K, it was achieved through training with a confident runner who challenged him to go beyond, entering a new dimension. Their mutual confidence pushed Glover to achieve what seemed impossible just years earlier, when his goal had been merely to qualify for Boston. Your mind can similarly transform your racing potential. When the running boom first swept America, running was touted as a positive addiction that helped manage life stresses. However, competitive running can become all-consuming and destructive when unbalanced. Bob Glover coined the runner's triangle of life, the need to balance body, physical running, mind, intellectual/career, and soul, spiritual and emotional. Running should enhance life, not become its sole purpose. When runners invest their entire self-worth in running performance, they risk psychological damage when injuries or poor races occur. Many running injuries stem from blind addiction, often appearing in people with addictive personalities who previously showed patterns of overindulgence in other areas. As runners become more self-focused, they often lose interest in career advancement. Promotions can mean increased responsibility, stress, relocation possibilities, and less time for running. Some serious runners choose running-related jobs with flexible hours but limited income, like Bill Rogers and Frank Shorter, who sacrificed for years before achieving financial independence. Runners must balance sacrifices with realistic payoffs. Throwing away career potential for running is wasteful, but so is abandoning athletic potential. Success in running, like business, depends on developing consistent routines. Many find lunch hours or commuting time ideal for training without interfering with family obligations. When intensifying your running program, make family and friends into allies rather than adversaries. Flexibility is key, sharing your running interest while accommodating household duties. The compatibility of running and marriage is questionable for high-mileage runners. A poll showed runners averaging over 70 miles weekly were far more likely to have marital problems, with nearly half admitting their partners felt neglected. The divorce rate among New York Marathon runners is 3.5 times the national average. Running partnerships work best when both partners run together, creating shared time and interest. The most problematic scenario is when a woman runs and her male partner doesn't, or when she runs better than him. Her newfound independence and confidence can clash with traditional expectations, while he may become jealous of her running friends and lifestyle changes. The key to sustainable competitive running is maintaining perspective. Running should be a positive force that enhances your life rather than consuming it. By consciously balancing running with work, relationships, and other interests, you create a foundation for long-term success both on and off the race course. Remember that running achievements, while meaningful, represent just one dimension of a fulfilling life. The most successful competitive runners maintain this balance, allowing their passion for running to complement rather than dominate their existence.